www.spiritoffamonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM, 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be
good evening to our listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. Thank you for tuning in to the station. It's always a privilege coming your way on Saturday evenings from 8 to 9. Well, in the last few weeks, we've been discussing issues about the events happening in our schools and all that. Last week, I had with me one of our people in the Ghana Internet Safety Foundation, Gabriel, to discuss the sextortion issues happening in the country, the alarming numbers that was issued by the government agencies in charge of security and cyber security and all that. So we went into details and people were amazed about some of the info that were discussed. Tonight, I'm here alone, but continuing from there, and also dealing with one or two things in the school issues. Pastor Billy will be joining Gordon from next week, and gradually we'll be rounding up on the school issues, and we'll be going into the digital parenting, where I'll have some experts joining, and we'll be addressing a lot of issues, a lot of things happening. And I believe it's quite important we look at this week, just this week, is it Wednesday, Tuesday, no, today is Saturday. So Wednesday, I had a call from one of my mates. We were discussing it on our platform, our class platform. And one mate called that she has a case she's handling. And the case, seriously, I hear things, but this week's case was so bizarre and annoying because the mother called me and she tells me how her daughter goes to school in JHS and she has a phone, takes the phone to school, the teachers will seize it, and the mother hasn't bought the phone, it's the father who buys the phone or has bought the phone for the girl. The phone is seized, then the next day the father will buy a new phone for the girl, the phone is seized, buys another phone, then, and so three consecutive times the father has been buying phones for the girl and is seized at school. And actually the whole genesis of the seizure of the phone is they've created a group where they share intimate pictures and they sell it for as much as sometimes it's $500, $400 and all that. I mean, huge monies, and it's serious. They sell it to somebody outside. So the mother got to know. So it's the mother who went to the school to report it, and so the teachers, the school counselor got to know, and they started acting and they seized the phone and all that. But so I asked the mother, so what is the role of the father in all this? And okay, it looks like a bit of separated homes, separated parenting type of so. But so the mother is trying her best to bring up a child in the fear of God, a good child, and the father on the other side is doing everything in his power to also destroy the girl. I was amazed. You have this disjointed parental control. One parent wants to help the child to do well, the other parent is undermining the authority of the other. And this is happening in some homes, and it's very unfortunate and very sad. All right, so this evening I'll talk a bit about this and a few other things, but first let's just go through a few news items, some things happening in the world, and we'll move from there. All right, so we have the first. So Christian leaders call for global prayer as India and Pakistan conflict escalates. But fortunately, US has been able to mediate and a ceasefire has been called. Some of these ceasefires, we just hope it lasts, because the way the tension was escalating this week, it became quite serious. It's worrying because India and Pakistan are heavy nuclear powers. I mean, they have nuclear warheads in the hand. I mean, all of them over 100 nuclear warheads. I mean, so these are no small players when it comes to military equipment and ammo and all that. So the first, what happened was some Indians were killed in the Pakistan administered areas, and so India retaliated, and then they attacked Pakistani areas and all that, and Pakistan also vowed to retaliate. So that was where the issue was headed, and to the fact that they called that, if even necessary, they may resort to the ultimate. That is nuclear, and that one is not something that is in the interest of anyone, because the consequences goes beyond the borders of the country. So Trump and his team, US has been able to step in. So let's just hope the ceasefire is really permanent. But then this week, one action happened. The Houthi rebels in Yemen are also not letting Israel sleep. So they fired a missile to the Ben Gurion airport, the Israeli airport, and it caused minor destruction though, but no one died. And Israel vowed that they would pay in a sevenfold manner. So this week they did. On Wednesday they sent 20 warplanes and completely destroyed the airports of Yemen. And when you see the videos, planes are on fire, runway destroyed, control tower destroyed, terminal destroyed. The airport is finished. Seriously, they really have to rebuild the airport before it can be used. And it's not. But you see, these Yemen rebels are fronting for Iran. It's Iran. The Houthi rebels are Iranian-backed rebels. So indirectly, it's Iran who is, they are like a proxy for Iran. And so Iran empowers them, feeds them with their missiles, the technologies they are using. And of course, some of their missile technologies are quite advanced, some evading the Israeli system, some also getting close to US warships and all that they have to shoot down. And they are quite advanced because they are using advanced Iranian missile systems. And they are fighting on behalf of the Palestinian cause. That's the whole thing. And so the tension now is really high there, because after they've done this major destruction of their airports, they are not backing down. That's one thing. It's like, they say they will come, they will attack again. So let's see how it goes. Israel prepares for final push against Hamas with Gideon's chariots. So the Israeli troops are set to act with great force until all war goals for Gaza, including the defeat of Hamas and securing the release of every hostage, are achieved. Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz warned on Wednesday the entire population of the Gaza Strip will be evacuated to the southern part of the enclave during the fighting, and the Israel Defense Forces or force will stay in every area that is taken, the defense minister said. The operation is intended to defeat Hamas and bring about the release of all hostages. We will act with great force to destroy all of Hamas's military and governmental capabilities, he told soldiers of the IDF's 162nd Steel Formation Armored Division, which is expected to take part in the ground campaign dubbed Operation Gideon's Chariots. Interesting. From the moment the maneuver begins, we will act with great force and will not stop until the objectives are achieved, according to Katz. Wow. So, as for that war, they are also on. Then Netanyahu vows that the Houthi rebels, they would pay heavy price. So the warning is there if they act. Well, so all right, so let's just finish off with this news item, which says that rainbow ratings, churches to be ranked by LGBT activist group. This thing, in an act that should alarm every freedom-loving Canadian, a government-funded LGBT activist organization has launched a campaign to create a blacklist of conservative churches and other religious communities that hold fast to biblical truths about sexuality. The group Rainbow Faith, Rainbow Faith and Freedom, claims their agenda is one of inclusion and welcome. But make no mistake, this is not about inclusion. This is about control, coercion, and the outright marginalization of Christians who refuse to bow the knee to radical gender ideology. This campaign, cloaked in the language of tolerance, is anything but tolerant. According to their own published manifesto, Rainbow Faith and Freedom is developing a rating system to measure how well churches and other religious groups welcome and include members of the 2SLGBTQ+ community. Oh, these people. So 2SL, wow, interesting. 2SL LGBTQ+ community. Okay, I'm going to call them my name. That may sound harmless to some ears, but their own language reveals the true intent to transform religious belief and eradicate what they deem religious-based discrimination. Translation. If your church preaches that God created male and female, upholds the biblical view of marriage as between a man or one man and one woman, or teaches that sexual sin is real and destructive, then you are on the list. You are marked. You are targeted. And you are publicly shamed for your convictions. Come on. Let's call this what it is: ideological blackmail. And what's even more appalling is that this movement is being funded by the federal government, by tax dollars. In 2022, Rainbow Faith and Freedom received $400,000 for a project aimed at ending religious-based discrimination. In 2024, they received nearly $500,000 more to go after faith-based senior care facilities. These are not random fringe grants. This is systematic funding for a targeted campaign to monitor, shame, and ultimately silence biblically faithful churches. This is not only a dangerous breach of religious freedom, it is a direct violation of the charter rights that every Canadian should hold dear. It's no longer enough for radical activists to be accepted. They now demand that every belief system be conformed to their ideology. This is tyranny dressed in rainbow robes. You know, so, I mean, imagine this LGBT or 2SLGBTQ+, whatever they call themselves, rating churches. So, you are strictly Bible, okay, so that means you are the haters. You are the ones that hate the LGBT people and You know, it's very unfortunate how the Western world has really gone down with this whole thing about LGBT. I mean, thank God for UK and US now. I mean, UK Supreme Court rules that a man is a man. I mean, a woman is a woman. A man cannot pretend to be a woman and all that. Even that, I mean, you are having some government officials who are scheming and undermining, trying to push so that they disregard the Supreme Court ruling. And you read some of the news, you see some of the news, and you just marvel as to the passion that people have for lunatic activities like that, where women are doing their events and sports, girls and all that, and men just have wanting to win medals, say that, okay, I'm a woman. So yes, I mean, it's pathetic. It's pathetic how it's being done. And you ask yourself, in the midst of all this, where is common sense? Because you look at a man, say that I'm a girl or I'm a woman, and is allowed to compete with women or girls and wins, and it's being given medals, and they are breaking records, and it's like they are being cheered on. It's like, what is wrong with this world? I mean, whoever imagined that a time will come where the world would be such confused that we can't differentiate who a real woman is and who a real lady or a real girl is. But then we are seeing it and hearing it, and it's very unfortunate, but these are the times we live in. You know, it's sometimes you read some of the reports and it makes you wonder how the devil has been able to control the mindset of people to the point where reasoning is no longer something that they can do on their own. Like, they are like robots. They've been fed with a certain information, and that is what they live by. On their own, they cannot reason, because interestingly, you see instances where some social experiments, where some journalists will take a mic and go out and question people about some of these issues, and realize people just don't even know what they are saying. It's like, well, they say I should say, type of thing. So they believe something because they say they should believe it, but they themselves have not thought through to see the common sense or the wisdom behind it. So doing such interviews, you realize people become stuck, and it's like, you realize they don't even know why they were supporting what they were supporting. And this is the state of the world, where people are brainwashed by the media. The system controls people's thinking to believe what they want them to believe. You know, some time back, I read a report where the writer said that the world is being conditioned for the Antichrist system so effectively, because it's like zombies are being created, you know, right from the school system to the social media to the media manipulation and all. So it's as if a breed of people are just in the world now who cannot really reason and think. And it's very unfortunate, you know, because it's like people are just, they just follow the system. They say we should, so, and I am following without questioning anything. And you see, with the way the reasoning states, the way people are behaving, following things blindly, it makes it very easy for the Antichrist system eventually, because that means people will just follow. I mean, they won't question anything. They said they should, so they would, and that is it. You see, it's very unfortunate, but I believe in the midst of all that is happening in the world, parents should, or Christian parents in this context, I mean, people listening to this program, Christians, should make it a point to train their children in a better way, in a way where they think, critical thinking, where they're able to use their reasoning. Because it's very unfortunate, some of these things, it looks like, oh, it's in the West, but I can tell you for a fact that even in Ghana here, I see things which makes me marvel that, so what is wrong with the society? People, you can see that the youth, some teenagers, some children are just like zombies. they can't even think for themselves. And I believe if people, some listeners are listening, some might have seen instances, things like that in our society, where you realize people are just, the youth, the teenagers, and all, are just doing things without knowing why they are doing what they are doing. I mean, look at some of the TikTok campaigns or the TikTok challenges that go on, and you realize there's no sense in what they are doing. There's no wisdom in the thing they are doing. But it's like a competition. Everybody is doing, so I'm also doing. This is, I mean, in one of the discussions I was having, SU executive on this program, we were talking about the fact that, you see, if we don't train our children to be independent and, like, to be able to think for themselves, then they will just follow blindly the system wherever they find themselves, because they can't question the system. It's like, everybody is doing, so then I will also do. Oh, everybody is going, then I will also go. Everybody is wearing, I have to. You see, if we don't help them to be self-reliant, self-dependent, and critical thinkers who ask questions, they will also fall into this trap of, I mean, blind following. Because, and that is what is destroying our society, the youth, the in the schools and all that. That's what we are discussing. We are seeing all these things. It's largely due to people not being able to stand for themselves. So I'm principled. I know this is wrong. I will not do it. I will not follow it. So it's only very few children or students are able to resist the system. People are just following. They are just doing things. They are just obeying. Everybody is doing. Oh, their friends tell them, oh, let's go, let's do. Then, so we need a certain way of really teaching them to know that they have to be dependent on it. They should stand on their own and not depend on the system. They shouldn't just follow blindly. They shouldn't just be controlled by the system. They shouldn't, because that aspect of it, you see, and in teaching this, you have biblical references that you can use. A case like, you know, Joseph is a good example of peer pressure. You know, pressure of, okay, not peer pressure, but pressure from the system where you are forced to do something, but you resist to the point where you are punished and all that. That is one example. And, you know, as we'll call it, the peer pressure, the team pressure and all that, we should be able to let them understand that as Christian children, it is not about what is right by the world standard, but what is right by the godly standards, the Christian beliefs, the Bible standard. You see, if we don't address these things with them that way, then they will think, well, if majority is doing it, then it must be right. Actually, that's how some see things. There are some who believe that the majority is right. So if the whole class says we are doing it, then it must be right. And if they are to be the odd ones out, they struggle, because it's like everybody will laugh at you, everybody, but that is the world we are in. We have to start building their capacity to stand against the masses, because clearly this world is not going to get any better. I mean, if you are imagining and you have any assumptions or beliefs that one day we'll have a better wealth than we have now, then I'm sorry to tell you that it's not going to happen. As a matter of fact, if you are going by what Jesus said, clearly, it's not, the world is not going to get better. If you are going by what Paul wrote, to Timothy, let me just quickly go through, and that gives even a better picture of the times we are in. So the 2 Timothy 3, yep. Okay, just know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of themselves, and men shall be lovers of their own selves. We are seeing it. Covetous, we are seeing it. Boasters, we are seeing it. Proud, blasphemers, disobedience to parents. We are seeing this in extreme cases. We are seeing it, I mean, largely happening, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. So we should be able to teach the children that if you are going to be good, you'll be despised by your friends, you'll be despised by your mates. The Bible has said it. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I mean, it's not all about chilling, entertainment, fun, chilling. That's what we are seeing. Having a form of godliness. And they will tell you, oh, but we are all Christians. Oh, we all go to church. Oh, we all challenge, we all deserve God. We all the good. I mean, so it's like they make it look like, why are you taking Christianity to another level? We are all Christians. So you come and let's chill. I mean, let's all be in the same category. Don't try to be more spiritual than us. So having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You know, Paul, this prophecy by Paul gives a vivid picture of how the end time is going to be. And we are seeing it. All the things he said, all, you know, without even one, all of them. In this one, it's not, we are not talking of America, we are not talking of UK, we are not talking of the Western world where the morals are down and all that. This here, this thing that I've read, 2 Timothy chapter 3, from verse 1 down to verse 5. Kumasi here, just Kumasi here, Ashanti region. All of it, you don't need to go far. It's being fulfilled here, even here in Ashanti region. That's the society we are in. Narrow it down to the youth, you have seen it manifest in them. Narrow it down lower to the teens, it is happening there. You see, so this is the problem of the world unfolding. You know, the party says that disobedient to parents. I mean, I was told of a case where this boy in the compound house, naughty little boy and all that type of, you know, problem child type. And when people complain about his behavior, this boy has the audacity to say that Bible says we bring him collaborate by any abano. I mean, a child tells you this, now you know that indeed they are fulfilling scripture. I mean, if for a child to tell you that the Bible says in the last days bad boys will come, bad children will come, and we have come, it's like they know what they are doing. They know what they are doing. So parents, we really have a lot of work to do. We really, really, really have a lot of work to do, because after knowing all that is happening, now we have to look at how the type of training we have to give the children at home, or as they are still in school, but like the training that we have to plan to, I mean, go along with them to help them withstand the system, withstand or be able to resist the pressures and to be able to go through successfully without falling prey to the system. Else, you see, so you have instances where people will say that, oh, the children were, you know, they were in church, then now they went to school, now they've gone off, they are no longer Christians and all that. But you see, some of these things, in as much as there are some who the parents did all their best and everything, and still the child, I mean, decides to go wayward and all, those are also the realities are there. But a lot of it now, what is happening now in the schools and in our communities and our society, there's a greater percentage that the blame can be laid squarely at the feet of parents. A lot of parents have shirked their responsibility, their normal physical, moral training and all that, not even to talk of the spiritual, I mean, praying for them and ensuring that they are reading their Bible and all these things. I mean, those are even extreme for some. I mean, if the adults themselves are not even praying or reading the Bible, how much more their children? But for a Christian, a standard, ideal Christian, your children should be trained in the fear of God.
they should know that they have to fear God. They should know that they have to pray, they have to read the Bible, they have to go to church. They have to understand these fundamental principles. You see, so failure to imbibe these principles in them means they will be drawn to the worldly system, because the world will look more attractive to them than the church system. And you see, I remember so vividly, years back, growing up as a child, primary school and all, where we had this, those times, it was children, Good News Club and all those things. And there was one of my friends then, we all grew up, children and all. Then we get to, after primary school and all that, they moved from the area, so I didn't know, we lost touch. Then we get to university, and then I see him first year. And the day I saw him, he was sitting in front of one of the JCRs with beer and drinking and all that. It's like, I was so broken, felt so sad. It's like, what happened? Because it's like the group, the children I knew, most of us grew up in the fear of God, Christians, still Christians by the time we got to university first year. But he was moving with, drinking and the yo-yo boys and all that. What happened? Then, we were in different hall, different courses, so we really didn't meet that much and all, that often and all. Now, fast forward again, a few years, I would say about 7 years or so ago, I went to this friend's house at down somewhere. Showed me as we walk, I'll come and visit. So I went there to visit him. So whilst we were just moving, I was leaving to go and sit in the car and move. Then this old friend I'm talking about was his neighbor, two houses on the same compound. So he was behind. So he was also entering. And it's like, so when he moved, after a few pleasantries, we talked a bit, and we'll be meeting again and all, I'll be coming there again. And so then my friend was telling me that he was into, occult and secret society and this and that and that and that. And it's like, I felt so worried. You see, so we were all in Sunday school growing up as children. Now we've all grown up and as adults, and look at, one is somewhere else in the opposite side, and all. You see, these are the realities. It can happen. But then you see, you realize that along the way, I had a chance to chat with him a bit and all, but you see, I realized there was a loose parental control at the point, and that is where the mistake, that's where the mess happened. You see, so when we talk about these things, that parents have a serious role to play, it's indeed a serious role. Because if you lose sight of your child, especially into the teen zone, if care is not taken, you can really lose them into the world. And the world we are in now, as we all know, it's not a friendly system. That it's risky to say that you let them go and enjoy the world, and when they grow, they will come back. These are not the times to play those gambling, because what if they don't come back? What if Christ comes? What if they die? You see, so parents really need to do what has to be done. That's why we are talking about these things, we are discussing these things, and we are going to even discuss it more, talk about various topics, get people to help. You see, because we really need to do our bit as parents, Christian parents. If the world is messed up, yes, we cannot fix the world, everyone in the world, but we can fix our homes. God will help us to fix our own, and those that we have a control over, that we can also help to fix. And as people listening, their pastors listening, deacons, elders, church leaders and all, Sunday school teachers and all leaders, So that whichever some of these things can also, they can play their bits in the church systems. Because some of the topics should be discussed at church meetings and leadership meetings, too, so that the church gets to also play a role in the life of these people. Because we can easily ignore these discussions and eventually we just lose them. Because some are just waiting to leave home for university and it's like freedom, that is it. Now they do whatever they want to do, they have their freedom. You see, so we should do our bit as we talk about these things. It's not to scare you, but it's to encourage and to motivate and to empower you as parents. That's the ultimate reason why these topics are being put to the fore, so that we know what to do and how to do things, and so that we avoid the mistakes that others are making, and to the point that we would be able to train our children in the fear of God. All right, so God willing, in the next few weeks, yes, you are going to Brother Gabriel, who came last week, yeah, we will be having him, and we will also be having a psychologist at a point also to discuss some things and all, so that we help our children in these times we are in. We need to do what we have to do. Okay, so the program is Issues of Life. I'll be back after this short break.
Okay, so when I go in there for judgment, I need how many points to get into heaven?
1,000.
Should be, no problem. I was a good husband. How many points do you think I'll get for that?
Oh, 2.
2? Well, how much for being a doctor now? I saved lives.
3 points.
That's it? What about the time I ran into that burning house to save a kitten?
That was good.
And?
2 points.
But I could have died.
2 points.
I banked a lot on that stupid cat.
I'm sorry.
So to get into heaven, I need...
1,000 points.
And I have...
7. It's time for you to go in now.
No, wait a minute. I'm a pretty good fellow. If all I get is 7 points, how does anyone get into heaven?
They don't take the test.
What? Now, why not?
Because they know they don't meet God's standards.
Then how do they get into heaven?
They've asked Jesus to take the test for them. They get in on his score, not theirs.
Are you putting your faith in what you can do or accomplish? Or are you putting your faith in God? Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Holy forever. this is Heaven. May I help you?
Yeah, I think I found a flaw in your manual.
You mean the Bible?
Yes. You know that section that says, "So in everything, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you"?
Matthew chapter 7, verse 12?
Sure. Now, when you say everything, does that mean everything, or are there exceptions?
What is it about the word everything that you don't understand, sir?
Well, I have this really obnoxious brother-in-law, and I would love to just take some chicken feathers and some hot chocolate syrup and...
Sir?
Oh, I'm sorry. Surely there's got to be an exception to that rule.
Trust me, sir.
How about a loophole?
There's a very good reason why there's no exception in that section.
I don't think whoever wrote that ever met my brother-in-law.
Regardless, sir, that section is a part of God's standard for how we are to treat others. We can't apply His standard only when it's convenient.
It's easy to think our circumstances are unusual, but are you willing to obey God even when it's tough? Another message from Lifeline Productions, the comic strip of radio, at lifelinepro.com.
Interesting. You know, some of these short messages are really, really, really loaded. The messages are spot on. All right, so the program is Issues of Life. Thanks for tuning in and welcome back. Greetings to listeners at various parts of the world. Okay, so yes, I'm starting this evening. I'm talking of, the discussions we've had and all that. Now, last week I talked briefly about it during the chat with Gabriel. And this evening, let me just get into it more. We are talking of contentment. Contentment. And it's one key thing which it's time we focus on as parents and teach the children. You know, the reason why contentment is so critical, you know, is that it's the root of a lot of things happening in our society today. Contentment, the lack of it, is the result that we are seeing in so many ways. The things we are, I mean, the society is just something, because, you know, so 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment. You know, parents should be able to identify if their children are having an issue with contentment or not. So, I mean, I'm giving some scenarios where you have your children and one is always complaining about something, okay, and this his own is bigger than mine, hers is bigger than mine, mine is not nice, his is nicer. You know, one of the factors of contentment is comparison. So comparing ourselves, you know, comparing. So when the children are comparing things, okay, this one has this, I don't have that, this one, you see. But it starts from home and from childhood. So you see, it should be taught whilst at a childhood level. Of course, now you have people who are listening whose children are older. I mean, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 or so. At whichever stage, if it wasn't taught, then you still have to discuss it, whichever level they are in now in their teens and all, because it's a major issue that should be addressed, because failure to address it means, you know, that comparison thing, they will be comparing, and this is where the issue comes. When they are in school and now they are comparing, you know, this person has this, this person has that, this person has an iPhone, I don't have any phone at all of mine, old one, be that parents stop using and then they give to you. So now you compare yourself with your friends. All your friends are having iPhones, you are not having any phone close to what they are having. Comparison. So if the child has not been taught to be content with whatever he's given, he or she is given at home, or whatever he or she has, to be content with it, then that comparison begins a process in the mind of the child, in the life of the child, where, okay, so they have, I don't have. Okay, so what would I do, or what do I need to do to be able to also get what they have? And this is one of the issues happening in our secondary schools, where when they do the comparison then there are some who approach, oh, okay, so if I also want to get what you have, what do I need to do? What did you do to get it? And of course, then they would also show you, oh, I mean, if we do this, this, that, and all that, I mean, this lesbian group, our mothers say they will send us money, blah, blah, if you join, and oh, okay, I mean, this group, occult group, if you join, you'll be given this, you'll be given a phone, you'll be given that, and this. You see, this is one of the ways some get into these traps, because they were not taught contentment, and they started comparing themselves. When they went to school, they see their friends having a lot of goodies in their, you know, their chop boxes are full, his is not as low, all that, you know. So that comparison thing now leads into the desire to be like them, be like the friends, be like, have them, the same they have also have. This is where the issues come up. You see, so contentment is a major thing that we have to start teaching, if we've not already, teach the children at whatever level, because it's going to be needed at whichever stage. Contentment is our problem as a country. The corruption is all based on lack of contentment. Oh yes, I mean, lack of contentment is the reason why we have a very corrupt system now, because people want to have more than they need. They want to, if they will steal, they will steal to get it. If they want to have as many things. See, God, the next week I'll go deeper. Greed is an offshoot of lack of contentment. Envy is an offshoot of lack of contentment. Pride is, you see, all these things are related, because you see, when they are not content, the person is not content, whatever they will do. Now when they are also able to get it, because they did it or they have it based on the wrong motive and the mindset, it also now also pushes them into pride, because okay, yes, now I have it, you don't have. So then that's also where they become proud, because they have what, yes, you don't have, they are better than you, and all. So it's a very connected thing that oftentimes it's not really addressed holistically. And as parents, when we be able to identify it as a major thing that should be imbibed, a major value system that should be in the child, so that at KG level, if they are being, they want to be greedy, they want to have everything for themselves, they want to own every toy, even when it's not theirs, they want to claim ownership. There's a very gray area between natural tendencies of the child growing up, trying to exhibit control, trying to protect what they have and all that. Those are natural things, natural character that children, but it's between that natural and it crossing into values which are not good, that parents will step in. Yes, it will take the parents close observation to notice that the child is beginning to be this, is always wanting to be this. Then the parent has to see that no, this goes beyond just the normal child who just wants to own everything for himself, he wants to take control, he wants to do this and all that. Once it crosses a certain line, you identify that no, it's becoming too much and all that, then you have to step in to let the child, or talk to the child, teach the child, let whatever you feel you have to do to let the child know that this is wrong. You don't have to do this. You have to share. You have to love your friends, love your siblings, share things with your siblings and all that. These are the values that parents have to take note, and then you talk to it with the child, because it looks ordinary, but then it's not ordinary. It's a major thing that if they have it, they will grow with it. If they have this value system in them, they will grow with it. So as you guide them in their growing stages, eventually they would be content with whatever they have. If they have, fine. If they don't have, fine. You see, so that if he in the time where he has something at school, if he has it, fine. He can also share with others and all. But even when he hasn't got it, he won't also be comparing himself with others who have and want to be like them. Because as soon as that desire of wanting to be like comes in, then the devil takes an advantage of the situation, because it becomes a doorway to be able to, you know, poach them into the various vices that we've been discussing on this platform for some time now. You see, so because there are some people in, I mean, who join the occult groups, there are some people who join the lesbian groups and all these groups and groupings we have in their schools and all that. Had they been content with the little their parents gave them, they would not have been in those traps. But because they were not content with what they had, they wanted more. They wanted to be like, okay, then they got introduced into this. Okay, if you join, you also get this. You also be like me. Okay, then, I'm interested. What do I need to do? Oh, okay, you tomorrow night, I'll take you to the place, blah, blah, blah. Then it starts. See, so this is the start. This is how some of these people get into all sorts of, I mean, bad lifestyles and habits in school and all that. From the lack of contentment, it grows into all these avenues, and then they form various habits and lifestyles which are destructive. So parents need to step up the game and teach the children. You need to step up the game seriously, because the times you are in is not ordinary. It's not like years back. Now things have changed, you know. So if you say that you go by the same old way of doing things, it may not work in some instances. Yes, you have to, let them know that this is the world we are in. And there are some who, those who listen to this program, last year, I don't know whether last year or last 2 years, I spoke with one teacher. He told me, I don't know whether he spoke on air or I said what he said, but this is a teacher in a secondary school, a boarding house, where he told me of some boys who went to eat the food of some bad boys who are into this group type of thing. And those who eat the food or ate the food, now after eating the food, were having sexual urges. And this is a boys' school. You see, so I mean, just look at, this is the world we are in now. So these boys, so they came to him because they know he is like the prayer SU and all this prayer group in the school. So the boy noticed something has gone amiss in his body after eating the food, now having a sexual desire. I mean, this is the world we are in now. You see, so it's not the same as years back. Oh, people share food and all that. Yes, I mean, it's not that everybody is also bad, no. That's also, but we've gotten to the point where it's a bit, the evil is becoming a bit different. You see, so in instances where the person may not have food and is being tempted to go and eat this, join these people and eat some of their food that they so lavishly displayed, and it's like, you know, I learned the seniors, old boys, bring it. You know, this whole thing is a bit complicated, though. It's not as simple as it looks. So the big boys bring it to the students as a way of recruitment into the group, and all some of all these things are happening. So it's a well-connected thing. So the food is well-prepared. Whatever has been done onto the food, incantations and whatever. And they would lavishly share it freely because they know it's for a purpose. This is happening in our schools. You see, so we've gotten to that point where in this case, you have to let the child know that be careful of the food, whose food you eat. You see, if you are not, you are the type who is not content with what you have. Oh, okay, let Charlie this one too. Charlie looks nice, so Charlie go nice. So hey, okay, boys, hey, then you, please, you'll be in trouble. This is the reality. You see, so these are the things parents, as we talk about these things, you would understand the seriousness and the severity, and address it as such. Okay, so almost time. I have this message. Mrs. Ampertum says, if you are not content with what you have, I think it's witchcraft. It's a serious issue because it's a starting point of a whole lot of things. Oh yeah, not being content is a starting point of a whole lot of things. All right, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. I'm Eben, the program Spirit on Spirit FM. This is Issues of Life. It's recorded. It will be uploaded to the website spiritissues.info. It will be also on the Telegram page, Telegram, the group Spirit Issues. You can look for it and join us well. And God willing, next week, we'll be continuing from here. Thank you and good night.
Listening to the New Spirit FM, Christian hit music.
Great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com. To all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
Okay, so when I go in there for judgment, I need how many points to get into heaven?
1,000.
Should be, no problem. I was a good husband, how many points do you think I'll get for that?
Oh, 2.
2? Well, how much for being a doctor? Now, I saved lives.
3 points.
That's it? What about the time I ran into that burning house to save a kitten?
That was good.
And?
2 points.
But I could have died.
2 points.
I banked a lot on that stupid cat.
I'm sorry.
So, to get into heaven, I need...
1,000 points.
And I have...
7. It's time for you to go in now.
Now, wait a minute. I'm a pretty good fellow. If all I get is 7 points, how does anyone get into heaven?
They don't take the test.
What? Now, why not?
Because they know they don't meet God's standards.
Then how do they get into heaven?
They've asked Jesus to take the test for them. They get in on his score, not theirs.
Are you putting your faith in what you can do or accomplish? Or are you
You're listening to the news.